Today's scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, which can be found on page 62 near the back of the Pew Bible. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" This ends the reading of God's holy word.
Well, it's a beautiful day, and I'm glad you've chosen to be with us today to reflect on God's word, to reflect together, to enjoy being together. It's interesting that we're calling this series Family Stories, and it's a series on the parables. And the reason why Family Stories is that the first readers, really, of these stories is the church. The church is the body that receives these once they're collected together. And so they're meant to be stories for the family, stories for the church community that we can learn from, grow in, and they give us insight into this God who reveals himself to us in community. So just as we are a community, so today, yes, there is a lunch afterwards and everybody's invited to stay. It would be great to have you, and you can get a quick lunch and then be on your way, so if you're able to do that. But we're a community, we're a family, and it's interesting because God reveals himself to us as family. So God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So if we just imagine God in this way, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, revealing themselves to us in community. So they live in community, they live in relationship. That's how God is. That's why we began with your name. We praise God. We praise him for his name. So God is in community and calls us. So when Jesus comes to earth, what's the first thing he does when he begins his ministry? He forms a community. He goes and he chooses 12 disciples. And before that, he spends the whole night in prayer, we'll see. Spends the whole night out there on a mountain praying so that he will know who he really should choose, and then he chooses. But Jesus, the Son of God, wants to live in community. I just find that interesting. So there is this group. He doesn't decide to just do his own thing. He just doesn't go out and save the world on his own. He decides, no, we're going to do this together, and I need a group. I need a community that I'm part of. I need it. I need it, Jesus is saying. For me to be strong, I need it. To be able to go through what I'm going to go through, I need it. And so as Christians, then, we're invited to live in community, and it's very important. In our day of individualism, we like to think we can do things on our own, and we like to think we can do spiritual things on our own. But the reality is we need one another. We really do. As Bonhoeffer says, it is a life together. We are in life together, and we'll be stronger. The devil wants to isolate us one at a time. Great, get all the Christians out there by themselves. What he wants to do is do that, isolate, and Christ wants us to come together. So family stories, and they are stories with the parables, and today we're looking at one more, but they speak about relationship. They are communal, if you like. And so we begin, though, with this instruction on prayer. This is how this parable is set up and woven into the reality. So he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say." So it's interesting with Jesus, and particularly in the Gospel of Luke, we see a lot of references where Jesus prays. And so here's a famous one from Luke 6. "Now during those days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God." I love that. He goes out by himself because he wants time with the Father, with Abba, we'll see. And he spends that whole night in prayer. Wow. Be kind of amazing for us maybe to do sometime, do a whole night in prayer. That's what Jesus is doing. And he uses that before he chooses his disciples. Listening for God's voice. So the story begins with the example of Jesus. And so prayer, if you like, is a discipline. It's a learned behavior. It's a habit. We need to form, we're invited to form this habit. Jesus has been praying since a child. He was raised in a home where they pray. They went to the festivals, traveled down from Nazareth all the way to Jerusalem, spent a whole week there, three times a year, learning, praying, speaking with God. So Jesus grew up in that environment. How many prayers had he offered? The prayers of a whole lifetime. It's the same with you and with me. How many prayers do we offer up? It's not just a prayer today. It's not just a prayer this week or last week. We offer up all the prayers of our lifetime to God. All of our relationship, all the pieces, all the broken pieces. The Father is able to bring them together through Jesus, and it becomes something. So Jesus is an example. He's praying. I'm teaching a course right now at Tyndall called The Christian Life and Discipleship. And part of what we do is we learn and talk about different spiritual disciplines. Evelyn Underhill uses the example of you go to a gym and you work out and you work all your muscles. I'm going to a gym right now. Can you tell? Woo! Yeah, look. Don't look. But just like we have physical muscles, we have spiritual muscles. And so we are to work out our spiritual muscles and find those, and we're invited to find those disciplines that work for us. And certainly prayer is one of those. So will we pray? Will we engage God in prayer? Will we work that out? Find the kind of prayer. Acts 2:42 says they were devoted to prayers, plural. Devoted to prayers, different times of prayer, different types of prayer. We find what works for us. Have this conversation, as Tamara was talking about. So we begin with the example of Jesus. And one of the disciples has been looking, and when Jesus finishes finally praying, how long has he been sitting there watching? We don't know. He's been praying all night. So finally he sees that Jesus has prayed, finished praying, and then he goes up and says, "Hey, we know that John the Baptist has taught his disciples how to pray. Will you teach us?" And Jesus agrees and says, "Yes, okay, very good, let's do it." Begins with praise. Father, Abba Father, first song today. Abba Father. Abba is Aramaic for father, it's the close, intimate word. We've talked about that before. We come to a God who knows us and loves us. He is Abba to us. That's how Jesus prayed. And he teaches us to pray the same way. Romans 8, Galatians 4, Paul says, pray this way and pray using the name of Abba, because it's an intimate relationship. That's at least what God wants. We'll think about that later. Do we want that? Do we want an intimate relationship with God, really, or not? But Abba assumes yes. Abba, may your name be made holy in all the earth, meaning may your name be recognized. May people see and understand you as the great God of love and mercy and grace. Oh, how he loves us, we sang. Oh, how he loves us. Go to God who reveals his name as a God of love. John says God is love. Three words. Shortest verse in all of Scripture, right, is Jesus wept. The next one is God loves us, or God is love. Three words, God is love. That's who he is, 1 Corinthians 13. God is a God of love, a dynamic of love. So the first statement of praise, may your name be hallowed in all the earth. And secondly, may your kingdom come. May your reign come about in our world. May this dynamic of love really fill the nations. Hear our praises. We're going to sing at the end. A relationship of love, a dynamic of love. Imagine if our world was filled with love. I don't know, did you see the story in CNN just this week of a father and son arguing with a neighbor? And you know what they're arguing about? A bed spring, a mattress that is lying between their properties. And obviously they have a volatile relationship. The father and son come out with weapons. One has a revolver, the other has a shotgun. And they pull out these weapons in front of the family with a young child. And the neighbor goes berserk. He says, you're pulling out weapons because of a mattress between our properties? And the guy who's older says, if you come any closer, I'm going to kill you. He uses that language. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. The guy comes closer. He shoots. Kills him. His son has a shotgun. After he's already fallen down, boom, blows him away with a shotgun. Now, how crazy is that? So now the two of them have been arrested, and what's going to happen? All through anger, right? All over a mattress. Now, we wouldn't want a mattress between our properties either, probably, but such a reaction speaks about the hate, speaks about the animosity, the violence. This is our world, man. This is in America this is happening. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy world. But we're invited to change it through love. That's how we change it. We change it through love. A dynamic of love. If love somehow had been introduced into that dynamic, that wouldn't have happened. Somehow the situation could have been diffused and calmed down. But there was no love. The Lord's Prayer is about love. Father, hallowed be your name. May your reign come about. How badly we need God's reign. Not just as individuals, but as nations. One of the biggest sales in all the world are weapons, right? Weapons is one of the hugest, greatest sales for Canada. It sells all kinds of weapons all around the world. What are weapons used for? Not for love. Following these two items of praise, we see three petitions. Meet our daily needs. Our daily needs. Not needs for the next 5 years. Help me today. It's a story of the manna. Go out and collect the manna for the day, because if you try to collect for more than one day, it goes bad. God is teaching the Israelites something there. We go with our daily needs. Two, we go for the forgiveness of our sins. All the sins we have committed. all the sins you've committed, all the sins that I've committed, thousands and thousands of sins. And all we can do now is look back and say, man, I'm trusting in the mercy of God for that. All I can do is go forward. Trust in God's mercy to deal with that. All of our sins, we come before God in relationship because he deals with our sins. And thirdly, I like it, keep us from being swamped by trials and temptations. We can get overload, right? Burnout. Too many needs going on. Can't handle them. Jesus is saying, pray in a way that you will be able to handle. You'll be able to get through whatever you're dealing with. Whatever you're dealing with right now. Whatever issues, health issues, issues in your buildings, whatever it might be. We pray that God will enable us and strengthen us to deal with what we have to deal. Deal with what's on your plate right now. Jesus says that's how we pray. And if we pray that way, the Father will help us. Abba will help us. He's in a relationship with us. He's going to tell some stories to make that point, that he's there for us. So this is a prayer. It's a prayer for the ordinary day. It's a prayer for you today, the day by day. You know what my students tell me? That we have a whole bunch of disciplines. And you know what one of the hardest ones is? Is prayer. Reading the scripture? They're all over that, man. Oh, yeah, I read the scripture. I can do that. Why is prayer difficult? Why? We can, sorry? It's powerful, okay, yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Do you ever find that? You can read the scriptures for 15 minutes, but as soon as you go to prayer, it can like dry up. You don't know what to pray about. I think part of the problem is when we pray, we have to be by ourselves, meaning we're with ourselves. We're invited to be contemplative. We're to look inside. It's introspective. And you know what? Often we don't want to do that. We don't want to look inside. We don't want to take time to be quiet because we don't like what's there. Or we don't like the challenge and all the hurdles we got to get over. So it's a lot easier to read scripture and then just give, okay, Lord, be with me today, and that's it. Because prayer is an interior conversation, and that takes work. That takes us to look at ourselves. Look what my life is like. Of course, often we don't like our life. We don't like the reality. We don't like where we're stuck. We want to get unstuck. We don't know how to get unstuck. So then we shut down. I don't want to go there. But prayer reminds us to go because we have a Father who loves us, Abba, who loves us. So we have an example, and then we have Jesus teaching on prayer. So that's how it begins. And then we have this lesson, a parable. Parable has three actors, a traveler, a host who is a friend of the traveler, and a friend who is a friend of the host. So we got these three people, and they're connected by friendship in some way, all right? It only makes sense, this story, if we see it in friendship. It's in relationship, just as we've been saying. So what happens? Well, there we go. We have this person who's traveling by night. Why would somebody do that? Well, in the Middle East, it's super hot. And so often, you would travel at night because it was cooler. Makes sense. So the person travels, comes to a friend's little house. Community of Nazareth, just say, is a little town of about 200 people. Let's just say it's Nazareth. 200 people. Everybody knows everybody. The houses are pretty close together for protection. They're one room. It's like rural Bolivia, man. Houses made out of adobe. You walk in, everybody sleeps in one room right on the side. And the other part of the same room, you have the kitchen and so on. It's all in one adobe hut. So when we go down south and we're dealing with the Chagas disease, it's about putting in cement floors and plastering the walls so the Chagas bug won't come out. It's all in one room. And you know who else is in there? Often the animals. So you've got the family. They're all sleeping on this one side together. You might have a cow over here. You probably got a pig, and you definitely got chickens, right? They're all walking around. You're all in bed. You can imagine how long it takes for things to settle down, all right? We go in. There's no electricity. Sun's gone down. We're all in this hut, not adobe, but it's just a hut. The door's closed. How long does it take a pig to settle down? You know what? My family, we had an experience with a pig this summer on Salt Spring Island. We go to a beach, and there's a family who have a little pig called Gibson. And Gibson is running all over us. And the teens who are trying to take care of Gibson are saying, "Gibson, stop that! Gibson!" And they're chasing, and Gibson's still going. The Gibson's about this big. He was all excited because we had some food and we were going to eat our lunch. Gibson was all over it. How long does it take Gibson to settle down at night? I don't know. I bet you a while. He definitely wasn't listening to the masters there, okay? Doing all things. Anyway, they all get settled down finally. They hear a knock. And it's the knock from the host who receives the traveler, and he doesn't have enough food to feed the guy. Hospitality in the Middle East is huge. He says, "I'm going to have to go to my neighbor." Gets up, goes next door, knocks on the door. The friend who's inside says, "Go away, man." Let's say his name's Tom. "Tom, go away. Everybody's in bed. Everybody's settled down. I can't help you out." Guy says, "I need 3 loaves of bread because I got a visitor. It's really rude for me not to be able to feed this guy." This goes on and on and on, the story tells us. And the kicker is, Jesus says that he won't do it. He won't get up and give him the bread out of friendship. But he'll do it because of persistence. Interesting, though, the word for persistence, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament, actually means shamelessness. I'll get up and give this guy the bread because he is so vulnerable right now. He is waking up the entire community. Everybody's hearing this by now. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. The cows are starting to moo. Sheep are baaing, whatever's going on. But because of his vulnerability, because of his intimacy, because of his shamelessness, because he's saying, "Man, you got to help me." The guy gets up, wakes everybody up. The animal starts stirring, gives him 3 loaves of bread. "Thanks a lot. I'll see you later." Goes over, and they have a little meal. That's the parable. That's the story. We have to figure out, what does it mean? Jesus doesn't really say. Just says because of his persistence, shamelessness, he'll give him what he wants. So he follows the parable with a little more instruction on prayer. So we have that beautiful little section in chapter 11 where Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open." That's the first bit of teaching. You note that it's emphasized twice. Ask, seek, knock. The next verse turns around and just says it a little differently. Ask, seek, knock. Ask is ask. Humility. I have a need. I think you can help me. Not afraid to ask. Seek means I'm going to try to be part of the answer here. Action backing up the request. Seek. John loves to use that word in the gospel. Seek. Seek after God. Seek him. Don't just wait for him. Seek him. And then knock. Perseverance. Ask, seek, knock. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. Jesus saying, that's how the Father is. Now, as soon as I say that, you can be thinking, yeah, but I've asked and I haven't received. I've sought and I didn't find it. I've knocked and man, the door hasn't opened. We can say that. Jesus says the Father will. Why? Because he wants to be in a relationship with us. There's that dynamic. So we have that, and then he does another little bit of teaching from the lesser to the greater. He says, does a parent give a snake instead of a fish? So if the kid asks for a fish, you don't give him a snake. If the child asks for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion. You know, in Bolivia, again, if I tell these little stories, eggs. Oh, man, eggs are, that's an amazing thing. To get an egg, to be giving a hard-boiled egg, that's precious, man. Remember my mom telling us way back in Ireland when she was a little girl, at Christmas time, they got an orange. Woo! An orange. That was their gift. Open up the orange, peel it back. It's precious. Well, that's like a hard-boiled egg. Share an egg. You order a big chicken dish. If they really want to make it shine, they do a soft-boiled egg and put it right on top. Sunny side up. Fantastic. An egg. If parents do that, Jesus is saying, won't God do the same? Won't God even do more? So we see the relationship of friends, we see the relationship of parents. God hears our requests. We can go to him at any time, even at midnight. Psalm 121 tells us God never sleeps. We can go to God anytime, anywhere. Go to him, and he's ready to hear our requests, to answer us. God always answers us. May not come across the way you exactly want it. You may not get the Nintendo game. Tamara, you ruled there. Well done. But God answers. And so where do we go? 3 points as we end. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And for Jesus, the whole thing turns on verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, good gifts is the language that Matthew uses for the same text, how much more will the Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Matthew says, how much more will the Father give good gifts? Jesus says here in Luke, how much more will he give the Holy Spirit? And you might say, man, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I want my new car. I don't care about the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. Jesus is saying God wants to give you and me more of himself. That is ultimately the best thing he can do. He wants to give you and me more of himself. How does he give of himself? The Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father is only available to us in our world presently through the Holy Spirit. That's it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father wants to give you more of himself. How beautiful is that? God wants to do that. He wants to give you himself. He's saying, man, you may want that car. I was looking at cars last night. I drive a little Fit. It's coming up on my lease for a new Fit. I'm thinking to myself, do I want a new Fit or what will I do on this? A big question, you see? Big, big question. God is saying, don't worry about your Fit, man. There's something more important than that. Do you want me? And he's asking all of us that. He's saying that he will give himself to us. Wow. See, I don't know if we believe that. I don't know if we really do. If we knew that we could ask Jesus for more of himself, more of the Father, more of the reality, the divine sower in our lives, more and more and more and more, we'd probably be going more like that. But we don't. Or we settle for second best. We settle for the new Fit. We settle for the new flat screen TV. Settle for a trip. And God wants to give more of himself. That is so beautiful. So beautiful. I know it's a challenge in the middle of all kinds of crap that might be going on in your life, and you're saying, man, I can hardly even think about this. My life is upside down. What we need more than ever right in that situation is more of himself, more of the Holy Spirit. What else can he say? God will give you more of himself, for sure. So ask, seek, knock. Kierkegaard says, will one thing, will the main thing, and God will graciously pour out himself to us. We can all be saints. Everybody can walk with a halo around your head, man, because all we have to do is ask. Too often we don't. But this parable is about asking, seeking, knocking. How beautiful. May we do so. May this week we hunger for him. We're going to sing a song shortly called Reckless Love. God's love is reckless. Reckless in the sense that it's extravagant, that it's there for you. More and more and more and more and more. Oh, how he loves us. You know what? No one may believe in you. You might not think there's one person who really believes in me. And what Jesus is saying is he believes in you. Abba believes in you. The Spirit believes in you. No one else may believe in you. Jesus does. So ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened. In Jesus' name, amen.